Church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And happy Friday to you, Brevard County. Welcome to the Refresh Radio program. Here today, my name is Bob Arthurs. This is a ministry of Merit Assembly of God, and we are privileged to be planted in this community alongside several other great churches. Merit Island, there's First Baptist Church of Merit Island. There is a East Coast Christian Center, River of Life Assembly of God. There is Destiny Church there on South Courtney, and a number of other phenomenal churches that we are pleased to be partnering with. We're not in competition with one another, and I know that there are a lot of great Bible preaching churches throughout the county that we are thankful to be in fellowship with as well. So thank you for choosing to spend the next half hour with us. One of the reasons that we are able to be here Monday through Friday is because of Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, Creative AC Solutions, Bill Andrieg. And Bill was telling me at church last Sunday, said somebody called me and said, "Hey, I heard about you on the radio." And it was a friend of his. He said, I just heard you mentioned on the radio. And we are thankful for Bill. This last week, we had our annual business meeting on Sunday night. We shared that 2018 was our best year that we had ever had financially. We ended up in the year in the black. And it wasn't because we sat on the resources that God brought in. It was because God just blessed over and above. We did several projects last year, each of which cost in the thousands of dollars that we were able to pay for in cash. And they had been, many of them had been things that we needed to do for several years, but because we are adverse to debt as a church, we had to just sit and wait and bide our time until the resources came in. The resources came in the year before, and so we said, in 2017 we ended up having a positive cash flow, and so when 2018 rolled around, we said we're going to deal with those. There was some AC work that Bill did for us, and that's why I was mentioning that to you. There were several other projects, and we were able to deal with those. And in spite of tens of thousands of dollars that we spent taking care of these projects, we still ended up having a positive financial flow for the course of 2018. I don't know about you, but I love being able to count on faithful Christian people. If you want someone to come out and service your AC unit, I don't think you're going to need the heat much more here in Brevard County for very much longer. There might be one more cold front that comes through, but the heat promises to be here for several months. We don't want you to be in life-threatening heat. Give Bill a call at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. And if he has time, I'm sure he'll be more than glad to talk to you about the things of God. He loves Jesus, loves his Savior, and loves to talk to people about him. So 321-759-3284, you can give him a call. Write that number down. If you don't need it now, you may need it in the future. Give it to you one more time here, 321-759-3284. We are going to go back to the book of Amos today. We were in Amos yesterday, and we were talking about people who are led away in deception because of the improper attitude that they have towards the Word of God, led away into deception because they don't understand the authority of God's word. And if you're turning to Amos chapter 2, we're going to talk about something different today. We're going to be in the same chapter, but talking about something different. I can also tell you that there are a lot of people who are led away into deception simply because they're arrogant. They think that they're invincible. They think that the negative cannot ever happen to them. And the next thing you know, they are snared up in that. So when you hear truth, don't discount it. Don't set it aside. Don't dismiss it thinking, well, that will never happen to me. I remember all the way back to my school days and teachers, and we're not talking Christian teachers, we're just talking teachers, and they were talking about, you know, that people who were doing things that they weren't supposed to be doing, and don't think that just because you're you that you can't get pregnant. Don't think that just because you're you that this negative health thing can't happen to you. Don't think that just because you are you and you think that you're unique and you're invincible that none of these negative things will happen to you, because they can. Whether it was diseases, whether it was car accidents, whether it was pregnancies, whatever it was, reality has a very, how do I want to say this? It has a very sobering way of dealing with the deception of fantasy. One of the verses in the Bible says, "He who chases fantasies lacks judgment." And so we want to be people of the truth, grounded in truth, speakers of truth, livers of truth. That's what we want. Livers as people who live it out, not the organ in your body. Hopefully you get a laugh from that. people who actually live the truth of God's word. So we're going to be back in Amos chapter 2. On yesterday's program, we were in verses 3 and 4. We're going to read today verse 5, or 4 and 5 is where we were yesterday. Today we're going to be in 6 and 12. Yesterday's message was a message from the prophet to the people of Judah. This message today is to the people of Israel, the 10 northern tribes. It says, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they sell the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. They pant after the dust of the earth, which is on the head of the poor, and pervert the way of the humble. A man and his father go into the same girl to defile my holy name. They lie down by every altar on clothes taken in pledge and drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. Yet it was I who destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was as strong as the oaks, yet I destroyed his fruit above and his roots beneath. Also it was I who brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite. I raised up some of your sons as prophets and some of your young men as Nazarites. Is it not so, O you children of Israel, says the Lord? But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, do not prophesy." So here God begins to deal with Israel, and he talks about the sin that they were dealing with. And there were several of these sins that they were dealing with. The first one has to do with human trafficking. It says, because they sell the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. They were more interested in money than they were in human beings. And there is a tremendous effort. You might think that slavery does not exist in the world anymore, but I'm here to tell you that it does. And much of that involves drugs. Much of that involves sexuality, and much of it revolves strictly around money. And I want you to understand that God is not turning a blind eye to that. God is very much concerned about that. And so many of the ministries, the missionaries that we support, their focus is getting as many people out of human trafficking as they possibly can. God is not going to bless a society that is oppressing people. That's the second thing here. It says they pant after the dust of the earth, which is on the head of the poor, and pervert the way of the humble. And so the second thing that they were dealing with is they were oppressing people for the sake of gain. Instead of endorsing the way of humility, they were perverting it and focusing on the riches, you know, the wealth, the arrogance of their life. And God says, by the way, God says this: God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And I will tell you this: God, who knows every hair on your head, God, who knows every thought that you think, is not going to be easily duped. It's impossible for God to be duped. You're not going to be able to perform a con job on God. He's going to see right through that. It goes on in verse number 7. It says, a man and his father go into the same girl to defile my holy name. They lie down on every altar on clothes taken in pledge and drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. And so there was a defiling that was taking place. There was a defiling that was taking place in people's everyday life through the sexual sins that they were committing. And there was a defiling that was taking place because they were bringing ungodly behavior into the house of God. Okay, now the children of Israel, those 10 northern tribes, they never ever had a king that it was said that he was a godly king. They had several kings. Some of them were more wicked than the other, but it was the 10 northern tribes, specifically Jeroboam, that introduced idolatry into the 10 northern tribes, and he did that to maintain his control over the people, because he said if they've got to go back to Jerusalem to worship the way that God has always said, then they're going to return to God. They're going to see that he is the living God. They're not going to want to be a part of this kingdom. And so the people of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, were presented with idolatry, which was more convenient. They said, we're going to give you a place of worship in the north. We're going to give you a place of worship in the south. And these are going to be your gods. And a prophet showed up and he said, yeah, God's not happy with that. And because you have taken this course, it's not going to go well for you and your descendants. You're not going to be on the throne for very long. Ahab was a king of the 10 northern tribes, Jezebel, and the wickedness that they led them into. There were tremendous, tremendous wickedness that went on in the nation of Israel. And God comes down here into verse number 10, and he says, look, the reason you're in this land in the first place isn't because you've always been there. I actually took people out of this land before you. They were a strong people. They were a tall people. And I destroyed their fruit and their root system. I completely eliminated them from the land. And this is what he says. It was I who brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land. today, I don't want to fix too much attention up on the fact that he led you through the wilderness. We've talked about that. What I want to talk to you today about is that he led them into possession of the promised land. So many times we talk about what God led us out from. Today, I want to share with you that God wants to lead you in, that the promises that he makes, he intends for us to possess. And I don't believe that God is going to have his name profaned by saying God was able to lead them out, but he wasn't able to lead them in. I believe that God's skill to bring the people of God into the blessing of God, the favor of God, the power of God, and into the inheritance you were created for from the foundation of the world, I believe that he is still as able to do that today as he has always been. Where are we at? I was listening earlier this week. We were sitting there after dinner. We were trying to stay awake until it was time to go to bed. And my wife said, "Oh, there's a preacher on TV, and it happens to be one of my favorite preachers." And so we ended up listening to it. And I want you to know, he must have tapped my phone lines or tapped my house or had eavesdropping, because all of a sudden he started dealing with some mindsets that had crept in from time to time into my mind as it pertains to ministry. So it wasn't any sin or anything like that. It was just little things that the enemy had planted in my head to get me to settle for something less than what God had intended. And as that man was preaching, the Holy Spirit was challenging my faith, and he says, "I can bring you into that which I've always wanted to bring you." And so here I am in my mid to late 50s, and God is still challenging. Listen, delay is not denial, but whatever you do, do not believe what we were talking about yesterday, that people were believing the lies of the enemy. They were being led by deception instead of being led by the Spirit of truth. May faith arise in your heart and in my heart today to believe, yes, God is still the Savior of those prodigals. Yes, God is still the Savior of those unsaved co-workers and neighbors and loved ones. God is still the healer of broken bodies and broken hearts and broken minds. God is still the provider. And today I want to encourage you that the God who led Israel out led them into, and he is still able to lead us into the possession of all that God wants us to have. Hallelujah. If no one else is excited, I'll be excited. He says in verse number 11, "I raised up some of your sons as prophets." Okay? I don't know about you, but I am thankful for mighty men of God and mighty women of God that are constantly calling people back into a relationship with God. That's what they were. You know, a lot of people call themselves prophet so-and-so and prophet so-and-so and all of that sort of stuff. And I'm not at all enamored with titles. You may have heard me say this on this program before, of all the titles that I see in the Bible, that is one that unless God gives it to me, I don't want it. It's the title of prophet. I look at some of the things that God had them do, and I was like, "Dear Jesus, if that's what a prophet has to go through, I don't want." But see, a prophet was a person who understood the pain that God was experiencing from a detached people and the compassion that he had to reconcile them. And the prophet was encouraging them, come back to God, come back to God. And God said, I raised up supernatural voices in your midst. Okay. The second thing he talks about, he says, and some of your young men as Nazarites. Nazarites were people who had a level of commitment to God to the point that they did not partake in many of the things that other people in society were partaking of. They said, you know what? My relationship with God is more important than anything else. You know, we may not call people Nazarites anymore, but I will tell you that God is still raising up people who say, I would rather have God than fame. I would rather have God than money. I would rather have God than alcohol. I would rather have God than things. I'm looking to be a living testament to the fact that there are still people in the land who are wholeheartedly committed to the living God. And so God said, in my leadership of you, I not only led you on your journey, but I led you by giving you prophetic voices, and I led you by giving you committed people. And verse number 12 says this, but you gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, do not prophesy. Nazarites were not supposed to drink wine. Samson was probably the most famous Nazarite, and it got to the point that he compromised his Nazarite vow by touching a dead body. He compromised his Nazarite vow with wine. He compromised his Nazarite vow with immorality. And it finally got down to there was only one part of the vow he had never compromised, and that was cutting his hair. And then Delilah persuaded him to tell him all his heart. So it got to that place where he said, you know what? It pains me more to see Delilah grieved than it does to see God pleased by me keeping this last superficial element of my Nazarite vow. Here, God is saying, look, you as a nation have done to my Nazarites exactly what Delilah did. You've compromised their vows. You have basically said, we do not want any visible evidence of people who are walking in a covenant relationship with God. Listen, there have been more martyrs since 1900 of Christians than in all of history combined. There are still people who are trying to suppress. There are still people who are trying to eliminate Christian voices from society. There is actually a legislative aim to try and compromise, you know, Bible preaching churches and not exclude them from any of the political agenda that is contrary to the Word of God. There's a societal effort that says we do not want to be reminded of what God has done in the past. The next thing it says is, and you have commanded the prophets saying, do not prophesy. Now, I don't know about you, but I still need God saying in my life, this is the way, walk ye in it. Can I tell you that the same society that is mocking and trying to shut up prophetic voices is trying to fill that void with all sorts of other spiritual input. And I want you to know, all spiritual input is not created equal. So you can go to your fortune teller, but that's not the same thing as going to God. You can go to your horoscope, but that's not the same thing as going to God's word. And God's not going to reward those behaviors the same way. God honors. God will lead people who say, you know what? I not only am thankful there are still covenant people, people who are living a life of holiness, I want to be one. Be an inspiration. You know, one of the reasons that I am who I am today is because there was a person who lived out passionately his faith in God. And I said as a young man, I want to do that same thing. And I will tell you this, that those people who are calling people unto salvation, that's what every church needs to be doing here in 2019. Every church, listen, it's not just about Saint Egg moving from church one to church two and church two feeling good about it. Listen, we need saints in this community and pulpits in this community and churches who are active in the community saying, look, Jesus died for your sins and he loves you so much that he gave himself on the cross so that you could have everlasting life. God does not want you to perish, but he wants you to experience everlasting life. Look, if our churches ever deteriorate into just being a social club, we have missed the point of what we're supposed to be. We are supposed to be salvation stations. We are supposed to be the people of God that says, look, God led us out of sin and he led us into this place of victory. But the good news is he's placed covenant people of God and he has placed people who are unafraid and unashamed to say, thus saith the Lord, in this community, because God is still at work. Jesus said, I will build my church. And guess what? If we will let him, if we'll let him speak, he will build his church here in Brevard County. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.